Rising property taxes have been a big concern for many Ohioans. They've made it harder for homeowners to afford housing, and they can affect renters as their landlords pass on the added expense. Lawmakers and advocates across the political spectrum have suggested solutions to those mounting property tax bills. One group has proposed a new idea: getting rid of them entirely. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Nick Swartzell, filling in for Lucy May. We'll talk about an effort to get a constitutional amendment ending property taxes on Ohio's ballot and explore the potential ramifications. I'm joined now by University of Cincinnati political science professor David Niven. Great to have you on the show, David.
My pleasure, Nick.
And Ohio Senator Bill Blessing. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you for having me.
And Citizens for Property Tax Reform co-leader Keith Davey. Thanks for joining us, Keith.
Thank you so much for inviting us. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you all. David, the property tax is Ohio's oldest tax, right? Dating back to just after the state was established. Data shows Ohioans paid almost $24 billion in property taxes last year, and that includes more than $1.8 billion in Hamilton County. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are somewhat familiar, but can you give us a quick refresher on what that money pays for in the state?
Well, this is the real challenge with any kind of change to the property tax structure or notion of abolishing the property tax structure. It's exactly that, the things that property taxes pay for. And the short answer to your question is they pay for schools, they pay for police, they pay for fire, they pay for libraries. By far the biggest chunk of your property tax bill in Ohio goes to local public schools. The next biggest chunk is going to fund local government, which is your city and county. And the vast, vast majority of that is straight to police and fire and public service protections of that sort. So, you know, the property tax is a major issue in Ohio, a major burden for many Ohioans, but it's also a major source of revenue for things people rely upon.
And just so we're clear, the state doesn't spend this money, right? It's distributed at the county level to, you know, various entities, right?
Right. So, you know, when we talk about property taxes in the state, we're just averaging what are actually many, many, you know, local decisions across the hundreds of communities and across, you know, all 88 counties. So your property tax bill is fundamentally decided at the local level, but it's shaped by state decisions. And that's one of the really important issues here is in Ohio over the last 20 years, there's been a concerted effort by the legislature to lower the state income tax. And that directly puts pressure on your local property tax because it reduces the amount of, you know, funding the state is providing to your local schools and your local city.
Yeah, it makes sense. Keith, Citizens for Property Tax Reform has this this constitutional amendment that they're trying to get on the ballot.
Yes.
Walk me through what this amendment would do, just kind of the basics of it.
Well, the amendment in essentially would eliminate property taxes on all real property in the state of Ohio. Our group has been working on this as well as other groups around the state for probably 2 to 3 years. I've been actually working on this for 5 to 6 years, but actively our group for the last 2 years. And you know, one of the main problems with the current system is the tax on unrealized gains and with the method by which our home values are calculated. So with this ever rising value, especially since COVID and the taxes have just gone off the chart. So we've asked state legislatures on both sides of the aisle for almost 2 years to try to give us various forms of relief. When I started this, it was SOS Save Our Seniors 2 years ago, primarily looking at tax relief for seniors. But after January of this year, when the new increases came out, it exploded, and it's we have 20s and 30s and 40-somethings in our group now. But, you know, this really evolved because of the fact that we couldn't get any what we would consider substantial relief or reform from the state legislature. So after 2 years, we just felt as though, well, we have to go for the total abolishment of it. We understand that there's funding issues. You know, our group and the groups around the state are not advocating to defund anything. I want everybody to understand that. We're just asking the state to institute measures to let schools, fire departments, EMS fund their expenses through other means that aren't attached to our home. And that's really a crux of this bill. But we feel as though we have to, really, because we haven't had any substantial relief from the state, that we have to eliminate it totally and push the state legislature into some meaningful reforms.
I see. Senator Blessing, you've been pretty active when it comes to addressing the state's housing affordability in general, as well as the specific issue of property tax increases. There have been a lot of ideas out there. What are you hearing from constituents about these issues first? And then we'll talk about some solutions that have been suggested.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is definitely still a top tier issue for all of my constituents. You know, they want to see some sort of relief. What that means, obviously, is up to interpretation. But I can tell you, and I have maintained this entire time, that they do not want to do what I think a number of people are looking at in the legislature, which is trying to shift around local dollars to provide for a cut. People very much support and believe in their public schools, and rightfully so. You know, a lot of what I've tried to focus on is things like that property tax circuit breaker, which, you know, even states like Utah have that. There are 19 states throughout the country that have a property tax circuit breaker to offer, you know, a good deal of relief. And for what it's worth, we even, with my colleague from Cleveland, Senator Ken Smith, we have bipartisan legislation that not only does $900 million per fiscal year worth of property tax relief, it's balanced. It's paid for through reforming tax expenditures and reworking some poorly formed tax policy elsewhere. So, I mean, I get their frustration. I wish I could move more of my colleagues in that direction, but that's sort of where we're at.
I see. This is Cincinnati Edition. We're discussing a proposal to eliminate property taxes. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email us at talk@wvxu.org. Keith, I want to go back to you for a second. Okay. One of the first questions people, I think, have about this that I've seen, this proposed amendment, is how we replace all the revenue that we would lose. What's Citizens for Property Tax Reform's position on that question?
Well, again, you know, we've discussed this with all the groups around the state, and, you know, we don't feel as though it's our place to propose a specific change. But some of the things we're throwing out is, as David talked about, you know, the majority of the property tax in almost every community goes to fund public schools. So, you know, there is already the ORC provides the school district income tax, which allows schools to put out a levy and actually fund themselves through an income tax. And when I was at one of Dave Thomas's seminars a couple months ago, Dave actually threw out, which I was unaware of, that there's 22 school districts, I believe, in Southern Ohio. Maybe Bill knows more about it, but they're already funding their schools through a kind of a blended system of income tax and property tax. We just like to see the state say, okay, let's make the income tax formula available for all governmental entities, maybe a sales tax, a use tax, and maybe they do a blended thing. But I think it needs to come back to the individual school boards to decide how they want to do it. I live in Lakewood, Ohio. And if this passes, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the school board and say, okay, let's sit down and let's work out a way to continue funding your schools. So again, we're not advocating one specific means of replacing the funding, but we know that it's going to have to be replaced, as well as, you know, and you've heard over the years, you know, part of this is we don't necessarily have a funding problem, we have a spending problem. And, you know, that's part of this issue too. And, you know, perhaps Bill can speak more on that.
Yeah, I want to go back to Senator Blessing, but before I do, I wanted to bring David back in and ask, you know, as mentioned, a significant chunk of property tax revenue helps fund Ohio's public schools. Is there a feasible way to replace that revenue in kind of from your point of view?
Well, there's obviously a real tension here between what the state provides and what local communities are asked to provide. And that's really the essence of this. You know, if you want to reduce property taxes or abolish property taxes, you know, the practical reality is there needs to be a stronger link between what the state is doing and what the local community is doing. So, you know, right now, a typical Ohio public school, place like Columbus City Schools, 70% of their school funding is local property taxes. And that's really been at the heart of literally decades of litigation challenging the fairness of Ohio school funding, because it's so heavily reliant on local property taxes, which, of course, you know, at some point, you know, you get the very dangerous effect of putting the most intense pressure on the poorest communities to come up with revenues that they don't actually have.
Yeah, you kind of anticipated my next question for you, which was, you know, DeRolf versus State of Ohio, which this Ohio Supreme Court case that found the way we fund public schools is unconstitutional. So do we need to think about new ways to fund our public schools? And how does that relate to property taxes?
Well, that, you know, those really are very, very closely related. So, you know, roughly, you know, 30 years ago, the funding mechanisms for Ohio schools were challenged in the Ohio Supreme Court. And over literally two decades, the court repeatedly found it's unconstitutional, that we have an obligation to provide a thorough and efficient education to our children that is not dependent on how wealthy their parents are or how wealthy their community is. And the key issue in that case was the schools were paid for by local property taxes. And if folks didn't have the money, if you lived in a poor community where the value of the housing was low, there simply wasn't enough revenue generated to pay for thorough and efficient schools. So the solution was more state participation. But the truth of the matter is we've seen, you know, fits and starts of new education plans and more state support, but it isn't actually there now. And so a place like Columbus, as an example, is still as reliant on property taxes as it was when the system was found unconstitutional in the first place.
Yeah. We'll continue our discussion after a break. And later in the program, urban sketchers are pulling out their drawing supplies on a street corner near you. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Nick Swartzell, filling in for Lucy May. We continue our discussion on Ohio property taxes with State Senator Bill Blessing, Citizens for Property Tax Reform co-leader Keith Davey, and UC Professor David Niven. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing us at talk@wvxu.org. Senator Blessing, what do you make of this proposed constitutional amendment, and what happens if the state property taxes go away?
Wow, that's quite the broad question, but and it you know, hurts me in some respects to answer it the way I'm answering it, given that Keith is, you know, proved to be such a, you know, gentleman with a sunny disposition. But I think this is a particularly problematic proposal for a couple of reasons. One, to make up that $24 billion worth of property tax revenue, you're looking at doubling sales and income taxes in Ohio. So for context, the state brings in about $14 billion per year in sales tax, about $11 billion per year in income tax. So that's a big hole that we have to make up. Two, we do, if we get it fully phased in, which I am hopeful for, have or potentially will have a truly constitutional funding formula in the fair school funding formula. The problem with this proposal is that it would wreck the local capacity amount part of that, thereby making districts appear a lot more wealthier than they already are, because it assumes they're bringing in all of this property tax revenue that they wouldn't be bringing in. So that formula would have to be completely reworked. Three, is with respect to how the property tax relief is done. And I understand the frustration with the General Assembly. Believe me, I get it. I deal with this every day. The problem here with this is this is an incredibly expensive and regressive reform, in the sense that the people that are going to be the vast beneficiaries of this ballot initiative would be your wealthiest landowners and your largest real estate investors. Like in Hamilton County, that would be Vinebrook. At a much higher national level, that would be Blackstone. And I think this would lead to surging real estate prices. Now, to the extent that you wouldn't be paying property taxes if you're a senior on a fixed income, that's, I guess, good to some degree. But your income taxes and your sales taxes would be going up. And I think this would shut the door on real estate for younger folks. And in addition to that, and I guess point four would be that by not having any property tax, which in a roundabout way operates similarly to a land value tax, what this is going to lead to is land hoarding, where you have wealthy interests buying up land in Ohio to basically become middlemen with respect to development. Because now that it's completely tax-free, they can sit on it indefinitely. And if there was going to be a mega project, a new Intel, the land can be bought up and they can say, hey, look, you can pay us a hefty fee for development, or we can just sit on this, you know, choose your poison. I just think there are a lot of problems with this going forward. And again, it kills me because Keith has been, you know, such a nice guy here on the call, but I would be deeply opposed to it.
I see. I want to get back to Keith to kind of like help him, like let him address some of these. But first, we got a caller. Bob is calling in. He's got a question about school districts. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. What was your question or comment?
One of the ways of reducing the problem with property tax is to reduce the number of school districts in Ohio, which I think is an issue that is seldom discussed. We have over 600 districts in the state, some of which cost more to than the amount of revenue they come close to taking in. And the other aspect of this is you do need some sort of property valuation, because there are situations where the property goes into there's no heir, and then the only way to foreclose on that is to say they didn't pay their property tax. So I mean, that could be very minimal. This is a very complicated issue, but I think you could start with reducing the amount of expense by reducing the amount of school districts in the state of Ohio.
Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks for your comments. Those are some really interesting points to bring up. I want to throw that out there. Is there anything you want to respond to in there? Let's start with Senator Blessing.
So that proposal, so Illinois actually had more school districts than we have. I think they were at 800 at one point, and a lawmaker there had sought to reduce that. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I don't know if she was successful. But it has been discussed, and I do recognize that there is some bipartisan support for that. The problem is that a lot of people locally just feel like they lose some autonomy when they're swallowed up into a larger school district. So I am sympathetic to that. If we were going to do that, though, in all cases, that should not, even though it's going to deal with finances, I would like to see that go through the normal legislative process and at least have a significant number of public hearings before we considered doing that. But otherwise, he's not wrong. With you know, roughly 610 school districts in the state of Ohio, we are definitely an outlier in this nation.
Yeah. Keith, I wanted to get back to you. And, you know, what does your group say to criticisms like we've heard and, you know, potential voters who have reservations about this proposal, maybe? You know, how do you address some of those issues? And also, if you had something from what the caller said that you wanted to talk about, that's good, too.
Yeah. What the caller said, you know, I've heard that thrown out before, and it's probably not a bad idea. But I think what, you know, the crux of what he's saying, the caller, is that, you know, we really need to start reducing expenses with all these school districts. But having said, in response to Bill's comments, and thank you, Bill, for being so gracious, you know, we already have a housing problem for young people. I mean, my wife sells real estate, and, you know, I hear the discussions every day where, you know, they're pre-approved for a certain amount of money, and they go, well, you know, Judy, we could afford this house. And she goes, now, wait a minute, let me tell you what else is in addition to that mortgage payment. And when you start putting up property tax and homeowners tax, it is making it hard for people. And I can't tell you how many young people have approach me, and it's really sad. I mean, it sounds like California. I mean, every day are saying, I'll never be able to afford a home. This is Ohio. I mean, people should never have to say that. So we already have a housing problem for young people, and we already have these huge out-of-state companies that are buying a property and renting it out, making rentals out of it. So, and that's affecting the crisis. But again, you know, I want to go back to the fact that we're not advocating defunding. We're advocating finding a better way to do it and not attached to our property. You know, what David said going back 30 years ago was the first time this was 97, Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional. So, you know, the state legislature, and this is not just Bill, obviously, it's for many years, has had an opportunity to fix this. When I talk to state representatives and state senators, especially the representatives this last year and a half, they tell me that we don't have time to really put together a substantial, you know, plan to reform property tax. It's too complicated and too important. Well, that's true. But up here in Cleveland, within a 2-week period, the state house, state representatives put together a $600 million bond package for the Cleveland Browns in 2 weeks. And I go back to my, I said, well, what about us? If you can do that in 2 weeks, can't you take some time to work on it? I mean, the budgets are almost done in the state house. We don't see anything substantial. And this is why we're going to what we have to do. But again, I don't mind paying my fair share. We've just got to get started on figuring out how we're going to do it differently.
Yeah. David, is it possible measures to replace some of the revenue from property taxes could be more burdensome on lower and moderate income people? I think maybe you touched on this in one of your previous answers, but I'm thinking about, say, like an increase in sales taxes would probably be regressive in some ways as opposed to kind of, you know, property tax. Is that something that worries you hearing about this proposal?
Well, you know, that really is the essence of the question here. You know, nobody likes property taxes. Nobody likes them. But what would you replace them with? How would you get around this? And you're right to say there are ways to go forward. You know, if you raise, you know, a sales tax, you can make this as onerous for working Ohioans, Ohioans on a fixed income as what they have now. You can make it worse than what they have now. You know, the real bottom line, and, you know, I think everybody, you know, understands this at an abstract level, is Ohio has been on a 20-year march to reduce the state income tax, which is, you know, a marginal tax, higher rates for higher income earners. And those rates over the last 20 years for the highest earner, 20 years ago, it was over 7%. Right now, the highest income tax rate statewide in Ohio is 3.5%. That's the essence of this story. If you cut the revenues that are heading to local governments, they have essentially only a few plays in their playbook. And the bread and butter play is reliance on the property tax. So, you know, obviously, the problem with a property tax fundamentally is it has no relationship to your capacity to pay. Every other tax has something to do with your capacity to pay. But, you know, this is in effect a tax on existing. You know, you're going to have to live somewhere. And whether you pay property taxes directly on what you own or indirectly through the apartment you rent, you know, you're going to be paying a tax that has no relationship to your income. And I think, as Keith referenced, you know, if your house doubles in value, your property taxes essentially double, but you didn't gain any income. Whereas if your income doubles, you can pay twice as much income tax and still come out ahead. So therein lies the crux of the problem. You know, you've got an unpopular tax that's obviously burdensome, but with what would you possibly replace it, and how might you do damage in the process?
I see. Senator Blessing, I wonder if you can give us a kind of timeline on other measures to ease property tax burdens. You know, just to put it really bluntly, when can people expect help with this situation?
So broadly speaking, I mean, if you know, I would think something would go through the budget for something like this. I mean, there are some proposals in the Senate and the House, although I would argue some of them are problematic in the sense that they may very well be unconstitutional. You know, with all due respect to my colleagues, you know, trying to freeze property taxes even retroactively is something that's likely going to be unconstitutional. If I had to guess where this would go, and this is also, you know, just me hoping, despite the fact that I want to get the property tax circuit breaker done, I think a modest, means-tested, and state-funded homestead exemption enhancement is the most likely avenue that will go through the budget. So if you look at our current homestead exemption, it's like a box in the sense that if you make less than 40 grand and you're over the age of 65, then you can get it and you get 28 grand off the valuation of your house, and that's state funded. What I'm talking about is something along the lines of saying, all right, if you're making less than 50 grand, you might get 50 grand off the valuation of your house. But then between 50 and 60 grand, you might get 40,000 off the valuation of your house, so on and so forth, all the way down to 100,000. And that includes the vast majority of seniors on fixed income, and really strikes a good balance at getting to the heart of the problem here, which is really seniors on fixed incomes. I think that's the best, cheapest, and most modest proposal that we can do. And I would certainly hope that something like that is in the state operating budget, which has to be signed into law by June 30th of this year.
I see. We're getting close to the end of the show here, but I wanted to ask Keith, what's next for your group? You need to get more than 400,000 valid signatures from across the state to land on the ballot. How would Citizens for Property Tax Return fund that work? That's expensive work getting those signatures.
Yeah, good question. Everybody asks that. Yeah, I think the number is 413,000 good signatures, and we're actually targeting 600,000. We've got groups all around the state. I mean, we don't have deep pockets. We're all kind of funding this ourselves. We have had a mass, since the petitions came out after the ballot board approval a week or two ago, we have been sending petitions out and delivering petitions to, I think we're up to 42 counties ourselves, our group and other groups are doing that. We're relying on that. I mean, this is about as grassy as grassroots as you get. And we're just relying on individuals. They're making their own copies. They're spending their gas to go to meetings. We're having public signature events all over the state. So we're asking the people in Ohio to do it for us. And yeah. I believe that by the grace of God, we'll get this done. I mean, I truly believe we get on the ballot, we'll get it done.
Great. We've been talking with Citizens for Property Tax Reform co-leader Keith Davey, State Senator Bill Blessing, and University of Cincinnati political science professor David Niven. Thanks to you all. After our break,
thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll hear from.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks to you all. And after our break, we'll hear from some Cincinnati artists building community by sketching in public. This is Cincinnati Edition.